Hey guys, hope you're enjoying today's online experience. Make sure to follow us on social media at Water's Edge Gathering on Facebook and on Instagram at Water's Edge_LC. And make sure to connect with us with our brand new church app where you can find out everything Water's Edge related.
To get connected with the app, head over to the App Store or Google Play. From there, look for the church app. It'll be a white icon with a gray cross. Go ahead and download the app. After downloading, go ahead and launch the app. Make sure that you enable locations. From there, you can type in Water's Edge Gathering or the church address, 2760 Power Center Parkway, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70607. From there, click on the church name and you're in. Here you can catch all the latest messages, listen to the latest worship, and give online. Often within the church app.
Now sit back and relax and enjoy a message from Pastor Tony.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Water's Edge Sunday morning online experience. We're so thankful and glad that you joined with us today. We absolutely love you. We hope this helps you out today. Today, I want to talk to you about this. I want to talk to you about how Jesus is not a quick fix. So many times, people in our world today look for a quick fix to a long-term God. But today I want us to understand that God does not offer us a quick fix to our long-term problems, but that our God, Jesus Christ, is a moment-by-moment God. Now, I've said this so many times before, but there's this principle that's extremely true, especially when it comes to our relationship with God. And this is what it is. This is what it states, that the way something's introduced to you usually determines how you feel about it for most of your life. For example, when I was a little kid, basketball was introduced to me as the greatest sport ever. And it absolutely is the greatest sport ever. When I was a little kid, because of the way basketball was introduced to me, I fell in love with it. And I felt the same way about basketball my entire life. To this very day, I still love basketball because of the way it was introduced to me a long time ago. But let's take coleslaw, for example. We got any coleslaw fans out there? I'm looking at you through the TV screen. There's only two of you. I feel you. But think about how coleslaw was first introduced to you. Man, when it was first introduced to me, it was at a big Sunday dinner, a big Sunday meal, and I wanted dessert. But my parents told me that I couldn't have dessert unless I first ate my coleslaw. And if I didn't finish all my coleslaw, I was going to be punished. And so this is how coleslaw was introduced to me, through punishment. And I hated it then, and I still hate it now. And probably because of the way it was introduced to me a long time ago. And think about this. The way so many people feel about Jesus today and the way so many people feel about God today can be traced all the way back to the way Jesus was first introduced to them. And for so many people, God, Jesus, was introduced to them just like coleslaw, in the worst possible way. And for many people, it determined how they felt about God and how they feel about Jesus for the rest of their life. And so for many people, this was how God was first introduced to them. If you don't follow God, you'll be punished. But if you do follow God, then you're going to get all the blessings that you want. God's going to get you unless you obey Him. But if you obey Him, then He's just going to flood your life with all the peace, all the hope, all the joy, all the purpose, all the strength, all the gifts, all the wisdom that you'll ever need. So as a result, we grow up thinking that we need to be scared to death of God if we mess up. And when people do mess up because of the way God was introduced to them, what do they normally do? When they mess up because they're scared of God, they back away from God, or they drift away from God, or they run away from God because they just feel like they're not good enough. But then on the other hand, for those people that feel like they're extremely close to God, this introduction also does something to them. This is what they think, man, because I'm so close to God, because I'm doing so good right now, God's getting ready to bless me. God's getting ready to bless me with all the power that I'll ever need forever. God's getting ready to bless me with all the gifts, all the miracles, all the provisions, all the joy, all the good things that I will ever need in this life. And then when that doesn't happen, what do we think? Where did I go wrong? Where did I mess up? Where did I let Jesus down? I'm simply not good enough. I thought I was doing good. I thought I was seeking God. I thought I was close to God. I thought God was supposed to shower me with all of these blessings, but it didn't happen that way. And so where did I go wrong? I must not be good enough for God. How has God been introduced to you? Think about that. Probably the way some of you feel today about Jesus can be traced all the way back to your first introduction of Jesus. I remember when I was a little boy going to a big Baptist church, my very first introduction of God, the first memory I have of church and my introduction to Jesus was in a Sunday school class. I was around 5 or 6 years old. We walked into Sunday school class that day and our teacher gave us a paper and some pencils, some crayons, and he was gonna teach us how to draw. This is what he taught us to draw. He taught us to draw hell, flames, and in the flames there was a devil with a red suit and a pitchfork and a tail. At the end of our Sunday school hour, when class was over, we turned in our pictures, and this is what he said, little boys and girls, this is a picture of hell. And if you don't give your life to Jesus, you're gonna burn there forever. Well, that was my first introduction. And so I grew up scared to death of God. But even so, after that, as a little boy, I can remember going to church and hearing messages and teachings and testimonies of people saying, if you'll just do what's right, God will always bless you. If you'll just get close to God and stay close to God, He has all the peace that you'll ever need, all the strength, all the hope, all the power, all the provision that you'll ever need. And then when you need that in your life and you try to seek God and that doesn't happen, the one thing you think is this, man, I need to be scared to death of God again because I just messed up. I just missed the boat. I'm just not good enough. How has God, Jesus, been introduced to you? But here's a better question. How are you introducing God, Jesus, to the other people around you in this life? And the way you introduce God to other people, does it draw people close to God or does it push them away? Does it make them curious about Jesus or does it cause them to be confused about God? Now, if you go to places where Bible characters and heroes like Abraham, Moses, King David, and then eventually Jesus and his disciples, if we go to these places where they lived and walked and traveled, you would find something extremely interesting. And this is what it is. When you go to certain parts of the desert, like in places like Negev, these desert places are called the countryside. But they're not just called the countryside, they're also called the green pastures. Now, when the Bible talks about the desert and the wilderness being called green pastures, it's almost like a wordplay. It would almost be like walking through the swamp and seeing an old nasty green pond and saying, man, there's an oasis. Well, if you only lived in the swamp for your entire life and you've only been confined to the swamp your entire life, maybe a pond would seem like an oasis. But if you've ever taken a trip to the beaches in Florida or if you've ever been to Hawaii, then you know a swamp and a pond in a swamp is not an oasis at all. Well, in Bible days, shepherds and their flock were pretty much confined to the wilderness. And when we read passages like Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and He leads me beside still waters. The word picture we get right here in our mind is that if we follow God in our life, then God will lead us out of the wilderness. If we really follow Jesus with our heart and our soul and our mind, then God will lead us out of these desert experiences, out of these dry experiences, out of these wilderness experiences, and He will plop us down right in the middle of green pastures. And everywhere we look is plush, alfalfa grass everywhere. And all we need forever is right here all around us. And this is the word picture that many people think that they get, but this is not what God was saying right here. For the shepherds back in the days of King David and then eventually Jesus, this was not the case at all. In fact, in the wilderness areas, right outside on the fringes of these desert areas was farmland. Not much farmland though. And so because of that, the farmers who farmed this land would force the shepherds and their sheep, their flocks, out of their land and force them into the desert, into the wilderness. And so they had to go into the desert to graze, to live, to eat, and to survive. And there was nothing green about it at all. There's no green anywhere. And so you have to ask, what's in it for them? What's there for them? But now, this is the kicker. It doesn't rain much in these wilderness areas, but it does rain every now and then, just a couple of times a year. But also, there's humidity in the air from the evening winds coming off the Mediterranean Sea. And in the wilderness, in the desert, you'll find these small patches of rocks. And along these small patches of rocks, you find a little bit of grass, little bit of green. And this is why it grows. That rain that falls just a couple of times a year, it drips down the side of those rocks, and that moisture gets trapped underneath those rocks. And then the humidity off the wind from the Mediterranean Sea gets trapped on those rocks. It drips down the side of those rocks and gets trapped underneath those rocks, and it causes a small amount of green to grow. And so as the shepherds lead their flocks through the desert, they don't lead them out of the desert and into these big green plush fields. No, these green pastures were the desert. And the shepherds would lead their flock to this small patch of rocks to eat for this moment. And then when this moment was over, he would lead them to this small patch of rocks to eat for this moment. And then when this moment was over, the shepherd would guide them to this small patch of rocks to eat for that moment. And so we see that the flock had to depend on the shepherd moment by moment, day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour. This relationship between the shepherd and his sheep was a moment by moment relationship. It was a day by day relationship. It was an hour by hour relationship. And so these green pastures were not just hot, dry, and gray. There was these small patches of rocks that the shepherds would lead their sheep to feed over and over again, moment by moment. And so the sheep had to continue to follow the shepherd. They had to continue to obey the shepherd. They had to continue to listen and walk with the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. This walk, this pursuit, this relationship is a moment by moment walk. It's a moment by moment relationship. It's a daily dependence and pursuit of knowing God and making God known. We walk with Jesus moment by moment, because we cannot overcome tomorrow's struggles with yesterday's relationship. And so what God was saying was not, if you follow me, if you just give your heart to me, if you just get serious one time for real, I'm gonna take you out of the desert. I'm gonna take you out of your struggles. I'm gonna take you out of your pain, and I'm just gonna plunk you down right in the middle of green, plush pastures. That's not what God was saying at all. This is not the word picture, because what God was trying to say was this: follow me moment by moment, day by day, hour by hour, as I love you, lead you, and guide you. Now that leads me to my first observation today, and notice this and remember this. Worry is trying to deal with tomorrow's problems on today's provision. And that's not how this works with our relationship with God. God gives us what we need for this moment only. Tomorrow is a brand new day with brand new heartache and brand new joys and brand new mercies and brand new temptations and brand new trials and brand new struggles. And we cannot live off of yesterday's strength. We can't live off of yesterday's victories. We can't ride those waves into tomorrow's victory. We have to follow God moment by moment. If you're still with me, say, I'm still with you. The sheep follow the shepherd for moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day guidance. And in the same way, our relationship with Jesus Christ is very similar. We don't just give our heart to Jesus once. We don't just get victorious once. We don't just draw close to God once, and that should settle it once and for all. Never have any problems again. Never have any struggles again. Never have any stress again. No, we stay faithful because we need God minute by minute, moment by moment, hour by hour, and day by day. So if I could give you just one application today, one big main idea to help you live this out, apply it to your life, take it home with you to help you have victory this week, it would be this, and remember this today. Discouragement and stress will continue to overcome you if you try to face tomorrow's battles with yesterday's intimacy with God. Our walk with God is day by day, moment by moment, a moment by moment walk, relationship, dependence, and pursuit. Now listen, last week, I ate a fantastic filet mignon from Logan's. It had steamed broccoli. It had a sweet potato with butter and cinnamon. But that was last week, and it filled me up. But guess what? I got hungry today, and I couldn't depend on that meal from last week to satisfy my hunger today. No, I had to find a new meal to satisfy what I was going through today. And tomorrow, I'm gonna have to find a new meal for tomorrow. I can't keep satisfying my future hunger off of yesterday's meals. And in the same way, we have to have a very new and fresh relationship every single day. Listen, just because there was a time in your past where you felt close to God, just because there was a time in your past when you had victory, just because there was a time in your past when you prayed with power, just because there was a time in your past when you felt intimate with God and victorious, doesn't mean that you can use that victory back then to face today or tomorrow's pain, to face today or tomorrow's stresses, to face today or tomorrow's battles. You need new mercy and new strength for today and today's battles. Our God is a moment by moment God who has a brand new mercy, a brand new strength, a brand new hope, and a brand new intimacy for today. Something brand new also for tomorrow. A long time ago, I was in Shreveport visiting a friend of mine, and he said, hey man, I wanna take you out to eat tonight. I wanna go to Outback. He said, meet me there at 7:30. So man, him and I go there, we go to Outback 7:30, we order our food, we get steaks, we get salads, we get cheese sticks, we get all everything, cool. Right next to us was another guy sitting at a table by himself. He ordered his meal, he ordered another meal because I guess he was waiting for a date to show up. Someone was supposed to meet him there. In fact, someone was supposed to meet him there so much so that he ordered their food for them. And so as we were visiting, I was visiting with my friend, I kept looking over, and the person that was supposed to show up to the guy next to us, who I didn't know, they never showed up. So he started to eat his meal, but their meal was sitting there and no one was there to touch it. No one showed up to eat it. So he finished his meal, he paid for both meals, and then he left. Now here's the deal. Someone that night had their meal paid for. Someone that night had the table set. Someone that night had the table prepared, the provision was prepared, but they just didn't show up to get it. And every single day, you have to understand that when Jesus rises to meet us every single day, he sets the table. Every single day, he sets the table with what we need for that day. Strength for that day. Peace for that day. Hesitation for that day. Conviction for that day. Hope for that day. Strength for that day. Tomorrow when you wake up, Jesus is gonna have the table set for you. All you have to do is show up. Because let me tell you something, you will face storms tomorrow. You will face heartache tomorrow. You will face challenges tomorrow. And if you try to face them based off of yesterday's meal, yesterday's hope, yesterday's victory, then you're gonna fail. Because today, God has a brand new power for you today. He's a moment by moment God. So let me leave you with this amazing verse, Lamentations 3:23. Great is God's faithfulness, and his mercies begin new and fresh every single morning. Why would God need to give us a brand new mercy every single day? Because we need a new mercy every single day. Our God is a moment by moment God. That's why the Apostle Paul says, pray without ceasing, because our God is moment by moment. And so walk with him, seek him, worship him, and serve him moment by moment. Let's pray. Father, today we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for being good to us. We thank you for loving us. And God, we thank you for loving us so much that you never leave us, but you walk with us every single day, setting the table for us every single day, giving us what we need for that day. And so God, today we join with Jesus and we pray, give us this day our daily bread today, moment by moment. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. And all God's people said, thank you so much. We hope you have a great week. Don't forget to tune in Wednesday. We love you.
We want to thank you so much for joining us for today's online experience. If this experience spoke to you, or if you have a prayer request, make sure you drop that in the comments down below. We'd love to hear about it. If you want to further partner with the church, there's three simple ways to do so. The first way is you can give online. You can visit watersedgegathering.com and click on giving. From there, you'll be led to eGive, our online giving platform. Or you can simply text to give. You can text the word give to 337-223-9003. From there, you can enter your dollar amount and then you'll be led to on-screen instructions. Or you can give through the mail. You can do so by mailing Water's Edge Gathering at P.O. Box 572, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70602, or Water's Edge Gathering, 2760 Power Center Parkway, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70607. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We hope you guys have a great week. We love you guys.